Summary of 10% Happier. Book link in the description. Great participatory journalism exploring the world of modern mindfulness and meditation. If you're skeptical of the benefits of meditation, especially if you think it's too spiritual or woo-woo for you, I highly recommend reading this. This is my book summary of 10% Happier by Dan Harris. My notes are informal and often contain quotes from the book as well as my own thoughts. This summary also includes key lessons and important passages from the book. Some of the traits we think are fixed, like a quick temper or moodiness or compassion, are learned skills, not fixed characteristics. Many people assume they must be paranoid and worry if they want to stay at the top of their game. People care a lot about the bio on an author's page. The best parts of Eckhart Tolle were a form of Buddhism. Most improvements in life make very little difference, and that's fine. We spend so much time searching for transformational change in one easy step, but can we all just admit that we're looking for the easy way out here? Just because you can't change everything at once doesn't mean you can't get better. In many cases, most cases in fact, you are only going to see a very small increase from each action. One workout builds a very small amount of muscle. That is what is to be expected. You're not doing it wrong if you get very tiny results. Most strategies deliver tiny results and require consistent over a long period of time. In the book, Harris makes a comment about therapy only working a little bit. The limit isn't your therapist. The limit is therapy itself. It makes a small difference, but it still makes a difference. The key is to embrace these daily marginal gains rather than dismissing them because they are small. What's the point of meditation? According to Dan, it makes you 10% happier, and like any skill, it's something that can develop through practice. It quiets the voices in your head, makes you appreciate the present more, decreases your anxiety over the past and future, and makes you a better person. Tolle on the ego, our entire lives, he argued, are governed by a voice in our heads. This voice is engaged in a ceaseless stream of thinking, most of it negative, repetitive, and self-referential. It squawks away at us from the minute we open our eyes in the morning until the minute we fall asleep at night, if it allows us to sleep at all. Talk, talk, talk. The voice is constantly judging and labeling everything in its field of vision. Its targets aren't just external, it often viciously taunts us too. Meditation is like doing focused reps for your mind. Focus on the breath, lose your focus, bring it back to the breath, repeat. This is the whole game. Keep bringing your mind back to the breath. How to meditate? Sit somewhere comfortable, keep a straight spine, focus on a spot, and bring your focus back to your breath whenever you lose it. Meditation helps you shut down your monkey mind for a moment. We have three habitual responses to everything we experience. 1. We want it. 2. We reject it. 3. We zone out. Mindfulness is a fourth response. Viewing what happens in the world without an emotional response about it. Mindfulness represents an alternative to living reactively. Interesting self-sabotage insight. Many people worry that if they meditate, they will lose their edge and no longer be competitive or driven. When you squelch something, you give it power. Ignorance is not bliss. You should not run from your problems and pain. You should acknowledge them. The RAIN technique for meditation: recognize, allow, investigate, non-identification. 1. Recognize, acknowledge your feelings. 2. Allow, where you lean into the pain. Let the pain be. 3. Investigate, check out how the situation is impacting your body. Is my face hot? Is my back tight? Etc. 4. Non-identification. Realize that just because you feel pain or frustration or guilt or anger right now does not mean you are an angry or broken person. It is simply a phase happening at this moment, not your identity as a person. Mindfulness seems to be about awareness of the self. You recognize and acknowledge the things going on around you and the emotions you are feeling. Rather than let the emotion drive everything, you step outside of it and see it from afar. Being mindful doesn't change the problems in your life. You still need to take action, but the key is that mindfulness allows you to respond rather than react to the problems in your life. Hedonic adaptation, the observed tendency of humans to quickly return to a relatively stable level of happiness despite major positive or negative events or life changes. On Mark Epstein, "Epstein totally nailed my habit of hunting around my plate for the next bite before I tasted what was in my mouth. As he described it, I do not want to experience the fading of the flavor, the colorless, cottony pulp that succeeds that spectacular burst over my taste buds. As best I could understand it, the Buddha's main thesis was that in a world where everything is constantly changing, we suffer because we cling to things that won't last. My favorite Buddhist catchphrase, however, was the one they used to describe the churning of the ego, monkey mind. I've always been a sucker for animal metaphors, and I thought this one was perfect. Our minds are like furry little gibbons, always agitated, never at rest. The doctor's theory was that, in modern life, our ancient fight-or-flight mechanism was being triggered too frequently in traffic jams, meetings with our bosses, etc., and that this was contributing to the epidemic of heart disease. The final step, non-identification, meant seeing that just because I was feeling angry or jealous or fearful, that did not render me a permanently angry or jealous person. These were just passing states of mind. What mindfulness does is create some space in your head so you can, as the Buddhists say, respond rather than simply react. In the Buddhist view, you can't control what comes up in your head. It all arises out of a mysterious void. We spend a lot of time judging ourselves harshly for feelings that we had no role in summoning. The only thing you can control is how you handle it. A simple question to ask yourself when you're worrying, is this useful? I do meditation because it makes me 10% happier. Everything we experience in this world goes through one filter, our minds, and we spend very little time bothering to see how it works. Meditation will make you more resilient, but it is not a cure-all that fixes your problems or relieves all stress in your life. One Harvard study shows that gray matter grows in meditators. This is known as neuroplasticity. Scientists have developed a term for the consequence of all our multitasking, continuous partial attention. The Dalai Lama has a theory on selfishness. We should strive to be wise selfish rather than foolish selfish. Foolish selfish is when you focus on self-centered and shallow activities. Wise selfish is when you show compassion and help others because it benefits you and makes you feel good. Compassion is in our own self-interest. Make eye contact and smile at people. This simple habit that will make you feel more connected and much better each day. When police officers or first responders are interviewed about how and why they acted in a particular way during an emergency, they often say, "My training kicked in." I like this idea of training yourself to be mindful, aware, compassionate, and so on. These are traits that can be trained and then will automatically reveal themselves when needed, assuming you've practiced enough. The pursuit of happiness. This, as Joseph had pointed out on retreat, is the lie we tell ourselves our whole lives. As soon as we get the next meal, party, vacation, sexual encounter, as soon as we get married, get a promotion, get to the airport check-in, get through security and consume a bouquet of anti and cinnamon sugar sticks, we'll feel really good. We live so much of our lives pushed forward by these if-only thoughts, and yet the itch remains. The pursuit of happiness becomes the source of our unhappiness. Don't confuse letting go with going soft. Just because you're aware of what is going on and being mindful about it does not mean you just let things go when you have the ability to take action on them and improve. The way to respond to adversity is often to work through it, not to avoid it altogether in the name of acting Zen. Striving for success is fine as long as you realize that the outcome is not under your control. Be as ambitious as possible, but let go of the result. This makes it easier for you to be resilient and bounce back if the result is poor. Buddhism is advanced common sense. It requires you to analyze simple fundamentals until a deeper understanding is achieved.